Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
I have tattoos. You have tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever get a bookish tattoo?
Okay, so I'm really glad that you asked this, actually, because I had the whole sleeve planned. I want all the swords. I want all the books. I want everything on there. Yes, 100% yes. Okay. I have a savings account. It's ready. If anyone wants to donate to my Dallas Bookish tattoo account, I take Venmo and Cash App.
Dallas's bookish sleeve. Please yes. Donate.
Help Dallas get a book tattoo. Thank you.
Subscribe to the pod. It will eventually go towards Dallas's sleeve.
Yes. I love it. Okay. Good. That's a great question. I will always talk about tattoos and books. They're my two favorite things.
I get them on my TikTok all the time. Like,
mm-hmm.
People going and getting their whatever. Do not yield or whatever tattoo they're getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to get one for each of, like, the swords from the Sarah J. Maas series. I want to get a La Haba tattoo. I want to get a Bryson Danica tattoo. Those are both from Crescent City. I want to get, like, all of the Trove. I want to get, like, Quicksilver tattoos. I want to get
all of them. I was going to say, what about Quicksilver?
Yeah, I have, like, it's going to go, I want it almost to be, like, a timeline. So, like, I started with the ACOTAR series. That's what really got me inspired and, like, falling in love with books and then doing obviously this podcast, which I'm really passionate about now. So I want to like start with Sarah J. Maas and then like move down to all the other books that I read as I read them.
Nice.
I have a whole plan.
Nice. I'm glad I asked.
Welcome to Goodish Girls. Here we are. This face looks a little bit different because it's not Cass. It's Alyssa. Alyssa's been our producer. We're super excited to have you here. She's going to be hanging out with us hanging out with Quicksilver. She finally read the book, so we're super excited about that. And you love it.
I'm not done yet. I love it. I'm not done yet. But I'm getting there. I'm working my way through it.
I'm glad that you love it. I knew you would.
Yeah, I was gardening today and I was listening. I'm on chapter 23.
Amazing. So this chapter that we're covering right now is 15 through 17, so it'll be just fine. And I won't say too many crazy things. I don't want to spoil it for you as we're going through. But yeah, it's going to be a great time. So welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
Yay.
I'm so excited.
So before we get started on this episode, I know we're kind of a little bit late to the punch on this, but have you seen and or what are your thoughts on the new Quicksilver covers that are coming out? So the original indie cover that Callie Hart herself designed is no longer going to be printed as of like closer to the end of the year. And then there's the Quicksilver book itself is going to have a new cover, and then it's going to have a matching brimstone cover as well. What do you think of them?
I mean, I feel like I like that they match. Like, that's nice.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that she designed the first one, to be completely honest with you. And I remember seeing it and being like, oh, that's like a little off the cuff, like different than a lot of romantasy series. Like, it's just different. Not in a bad way. It just is different. But
that's fair.
I like it. I like the original too. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm deep enough in the fandom yet to have like a proper opinion. What are your opinions?
People have very strong opinions about these covers. People either love the OG, they either love it or they hate it so much. And I think it's so wild that we get so invested in this. But like, she designed it herself. Like, that's her book, right?
Which is pretty awesome. And like, that doesn't happen a lot, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure that's usually handed off to other people.
Mm-hmm. And then I feel like once you finish the story, the cover makes more sense.
Okay. That's good to
me
know.
Anyways. Well, I don't know why.
Circle back with my opinion.
Yeah, like finish the book and then look at the cover again and be like, oh, okay. I do like the new covers. And it sucks. I feel bad for her because she's also getting a ton of hate about the new covers. It's like no one can just be happy about her and her books. Right. I don't know why the fandom is choosing to hate on her so bad about it. She was like, okay, you don't like this like super detailed cover. Let me give you like a more like elegant, simplified cover, I like them both. I can see that she put a lot of heart and soul into that. So I'm here for it. I'll buy them all. I don't care.
Yeah.
I want one of each.
I love like a matching series, but I also like think now having that original one will be that much more special, you know?
Yep, exactly. Especially because when the new ones come out, that one will go out of print.
Yeah.
So having that cover is like really cool.
Dang, 20 years from now.
You gotta buy it. You gotta get it before it goes out.
I'm gonna order it when we get off this podcast today.
Mm-hmm. And then I think the new books like come with maybe some art or bonus chapters or things like that as well, which is gonna be super cool. So I will have them in my hands at the end of the year.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to like touch base on that and see where you were at on it because it's a very hot topic online.
I will say when the new ones were released, I hadn't started reading it yet. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. That's fair. Maybe I'll have stronger opinions once I'm done.
I'm going to put a note and circle back to this discussion.
Yeah.
Last episode.
I'm curious to see if I have stronger opinions then.
Yeah. I don't know. I just love the book so much. I think she could probably just handwrite the word Kingfisher on the front of the cover and I'd still be okay with it.
Yeah.
Just like scribble it on there. Here's your cover.
That is a nod to a good book.
Yes. Like,
you don't have to sell it by the cover.
No, tear the cover off. I don't care. I'll read it again. It's the best.
My friend has been custom covering her books, like buying the books and then like custom.
She rebinds.
Yeah, rebinding. I couldn't think of the word. Yeah. Maybe I'll just get you a rebinded one that just says Kingfisher on the front.
Stop it. Okay, you guys heard that. It's on the record for legal purposes. Yeah. This is not a joke.
Yes. Yeah. I'll just reach out to my sources.
Oh my gosh. Alyssa's got the hookup.
Or like Hayden. We hate Hayden on the front.
I really, really, really want him to get a redemption arc in this next book because I don't know
maybe
if
he will.
Because if you've read in the next book, Brimstone, that's coming at the end of this year, this little snippet that she has given us is that Carrion and Kingfisher have to go back through the Quicksilver to go rescue Hayden. That's the premise of the story. And I think it's going to be hilarious in every way, shape, or form. And I really want Hayden to get a redemption arc. I mean, he has a job now, right? We know he has a job. We know that he's kind of doing his thing. He's forced to grow up a little bit now that Ceres is gone, which honestly I think is going to be the best for him. So here's to Hayden 2025.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, when I was listening and they're like, yeah, he has a job. I was like, cool. He's good. All right. Moving on.
You can do this, buddy. We believe in you. But yes, pre-job Hayden is too much. Grown man.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a grown man. Now I finally relate. Now that I'm in it, I'm like, oh yeah, grow up. Get a job.
For those who didn't know, Alyssa has been our producer this whole time. So she has listened to all of our episodes and I'm sure some of it made sense and some of it you were just like, okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. And I'd like kind of get my summaries, but now like going back and hearing the actual text, I'm like, oh my God.
They were
right. What's wrong with you? You're grown up.
Those girls were right all along.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this chapter, again, we're covering chapters 15 through 17. So Ceres and Kingfisher have officially left Evalia and the Winter Palace with Carrion Swift in tow. We learn that Ceres' hatred for horses is very real, but Ada is still a very good girl to everyone else except for Ceres. This journey takes them through the Wicker Woods where Ceres learns there are very scary things in the dark and that the Fae also have much better eyesight than humans do. Saris also experiences a ton of new things, including new types of creatures in a pub along the journey, and learns that Kingfisher is a hero in those lands, even though he won't acknowledge it. Sweet baby Kingfisher, all hail. Ren learns about the blood oath Saris is now under and is not happy about it. Saris, Kingfisher, Ren, and animals in tow go through a shadow gate, and Saris has a terrible time. Carrion finally wakes up from his quicksilver nap and has a ton of questions, like where is his boot for starters? Saris is still trying to find a way home and decides to attempt to outsmart Kingfisher by making yet another oath. But did she actually pay attention to the details in that bargain? I don't know. Probably not. Kingfisher shows his softer side with the workers in the palace, which is his home, which eventually they will go and visit. Saris and Kingfisher spend some time together in the forge, where Saris learns that the devil is really in the details when she is shown a large amount of trunks with rings inside them from the 15,000 soldiers in the army, and a relic is needed for each and every one of them. With the weight of how long that will take her sitting on her shoulders, the emotions hit her, but when Kingfisher explains what happens if they don't have those relics, the weight of that responsibility hits her as well. So it's kind of like the recap of what happened in these last couple of chapters. I have a ton of questions, as usual.
I love it.
I have
that's
a ton of questions.
That's what makes the podcast.
Yes.
We have nothing to talk about otherwise.
That's true. We'll just stare at each other.
Just soak it in.
So my first question is, now that you're getting into this book, what are your thoughts so far before we like dive into the chapters themselves?
Like overall?
Like, yeah, either overall or like just like these chapters that we just went into. What are your thoughts? Is it where you thought it was going to be?
It is not where I thought it was going to be. I kind of, in the very beginning, I feel like if you're going into this book with like just nothing, no context of what it is, it was around like chapter 10 maybe, where I was like, okay, like things are getting good, like I'm getting invested now. So I do think it's a book where you can't be like, I'm gonna read the first chapter and decide whether or not I love this,
right?
But thankfully it does dive right into the action right away, like you guys mentioned before. Like, it's not like you're like taking in all this exposition in the beginning. But now, like chapter 15, okay, we're like on our fellowship of the ring. We're like on the journey now.
Yes, we're on like, the journey.
We now have our quest. We are now moving and grooving. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to know where your mindset was in it, right? All right. So we're going to start around chapter 15, which is Sarish. So they're walking through the forest, which is like the Wicker Woods, right? In this, Fisher mentions the shades or the souls who died in distress live there, right? So it's like a cemetery for bad ghosts.
Yeah.
It's like my recap of it, right? So she can't see in the dark, but he can see all the things, but she can hear everything. And he also says that the forest is a prison for souls who are guilty of the most heinous crimes are sent to those woods. The trees entomb the evilest kinds of monsters. So she could hear all the things, right? She can hear like the screams, and they're just replaying how they died over and over again. What the fuck? My first question.
Okay. Yes. I think I would want to see what's going on. I don't know if that's naive of me to say.
No, I feel like that's fair.
Be like sitting there in the dark and be like, yeah, okay.
People just screaming around you.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like see no evil, hear no evil kind of thing, like out of sight, out of mind.
But you're not hearing no evil. You're hearing all the evil. You're just not seeing it.
Just not seeing it. No, that's terrible. Because he even asked her, he's like, hey, I will gift you the temporary gift of sight. And she's like, absolutely not. Hell no. It's not happening. Yeah. So, I mean, it's her bed. She can lie in it, right? If she just wants to hear them, I guess that's fine. But then my theory question is that, so it has the worst, like, people ever, right? The heinous crimes. Are Madra, Bellicon, and Malcolm there? Because supposedly they died, right? I say supposedly because there is theories online that they did. Can we say these things? You haven't finished yet.
No, I haven't finished it.
How are we supposed to talk about this stuff?
I don't know.
Alyssa!
I was like, half day? And then I had a moment. I was like, did I miss something? Okay, well.
That.
Maybe.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's a good thing I'm not a spoilers girly.
Oh, this whole episode has this whole, there's so many spoilers. Okay. I'm so sorry. It's now you know. R.I.P. them. Or are they? I don't know. You'll find out.
Okay. Well, now I have a question.
Okay.
I don't really know the context of what you're saying, but now I have a question. So are you saying, are they there now? While they're going through?
No.
Are
you saying, afterwards. Are they there
future?
Future-wise. Are they there
I see.
Then?
Maybe. Do you think is that where the they ended the up? Worst? The worst ever?
Yes. I think once you find out what happened to our sweet baby Kingfisher, you'd be like, You know what? I'll put him in the Wicker Woods myself. Goodbye.
All right.
Drag him down.
So there's a second note for us to go back to.
Yes. Do I think everyone there? Note this? Are they there? Hello?
Let it be known by the next episode that we record, I will be done.
Okay.
I'm like 90% sure.
She's got this. And then we'll know. Now you know what sort of, well, and even though you know that little snippet now, there's still 100 other surprises you have no idea about.
Yeah,
you're still gonna be like, sure. What? Every 2 minutes at the end of the chapters. So I wonder if in Brimstone, when they have to go back, they're gonna maybe have to go through that forest again. So if they really are ending up there, are they gonna run into them? You know, and then that's when you take a seat and you watch them for a while. Die over and over again. That's what I would do. Just park Ada. Watch.
Yeah. So saying, if Sarah still can't see, well, then she'd be like, yeah, let me see.
So I don't think she can go with them. And I can't tell you why yet, but you will know by next episode why she can't go with them. Almost ruined it again.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, I kind of stepped into that one myself.
You will know. No, and I don't want to spoil that one because it's like a really good ending. So so they're walking through the Wicker Woods, right? People are dying everywhere. And then Ada is attempting to bite Carrion on the ass.
Yes.
As they're walking, she's like, chomp, chomp, chomp. And then I wonder, like, if it would have woken him up. But then can you imagine
being woken up by a horse biting your ass?
Horse biting you. Oh, suck.
Waking up from your little Quicksilver nap, like, is that a horse?
What's happening? Me? You know, I honestly think
does everyone from the third hate horses?
I mean, I don't think so. I think it's just Saris, because I don't think Carrion has a problem with horses.
Why does she hate horses so much?
It does. So like there was like horses that she had to be around, and she says they have a mutual hatred for each other. So
I know.
I guess she just had a bad experience with them.
Bad vibes.
She has bad vibes. She thinks the horse has bad vibes. Maybe she met a horse who was having a bad day. I'm not going to say a bad horse because there are no bad horses, in my opinion.
That's fair. But then why is Ada trying to bite his ass?
Maybe Carrion gives off the vibe.
Maybe they all have bad vibes.
If I was a horse, I would also bite Carrion Swift.
Well,
just for the record. I'd be like, you know what? Look at that guy. I'm going to bite him.
I think I'm going to bite him.
Bite him. Good for you, Ada. See, she's a good girl. She knows. She knows.
That's fair. How funny. Okay.
So I don't know. They just have like this weird vibe with horses. But then I wonder, how are the horses surviving in Zalaren? There's no water there.
Know.
Who is protecting these horses? Who's watering these horses?
Hmm. I don't know. Maybe the horses get 6 ounces a day too.
That's maybe. Maybe they get double because they're horses.
Maybe they're actually camels.
Think that they're a horse. This whole time it's been a camel.
Why doesn't this horse have a hump on it?
Can I get some fan art of the horses of Quicksilver, please, AI? So I know if it's really a camel.
Yeah. They're actually on camels the whole time.
Yeah. So as they're walking through, we eventually learn that Kingfisher tells her that he knew about her planning to steal the ring. And she's like, there's no way you could have known that. How did you know?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, I went through your bag. First off, how dare you? He cannot do any wrong, but also how dare you? You don't go through ladies' bags. Mm-hmm. I don't get mad at him, but I was like, bro, that's so rude. But she had supplies, all stuff.
So I'm a huge Survivor fan. This is so off books. But anyway, I'm a huge Survivor fan. And sometimes the players will go through each other's bags. And there's always the debate of, is that too far? Like, have you crossed a line? Because that's their personal belongings. That's all you really mm-hmm. have in the game. And if they have like an immunity idol or like an advantage in the game, they'll put it in their bag. And it's like, is that too far going through someone's personal belongings?
Mm-hmm.
In a game for $1 million. Again, realize this is very off topic.
But I mean, it is the game Survivor, so I get that. But Kingfisher does not need to go through Sarah Svane's purse to survive. He's fine. He's
not in a game for $1 million.
No. He was there. Being nosy. He can look through my bag. I'll open it right up. That's fine. But she didn't give him permission. Okay. And I didn't like that.
Okay.
He needs to have some manners. I know you. He's been gone for a long time. If he was doing it for $1 million and he did have to survive, sure, fine, do what you got to do. But again, she packed with all the supplies, right? Like all the things that she would need, because she's like, I'm out of here. So my other question was if he knew she was planning it, did he mean to let her get all the way to the pool, or was he going to let her go through? Like, what was his plan? Did he get distracted? Did somebody distract him?
I also kind of thought this. Yeah, like, what was he doing? Was he like,
right, she like dipped a toe in. She was ready.
I'm gonna wait until her big toe is touching the Quicksilver, and then I'm gonna go.
Yep.
Is he like waiting there?
I think he probably was. He probably waited in the corners. He probably watched Onyx freak out. He watched her do all this stupid stuff. And then he probably was just, like, sitting there with his arms crossed like this. So I imagine him sitting like this a lot, watching her. Just waiting. And then all of a sudden, the very last minute, he was like, bam! Like a jump scare.
Maybe.
That'd be my guess.
Maybe. Yeah.
But I was like, you could have just stopped her, like, way before. But how was she going to learn her lesson? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it was just a lesson he thought she needed to learn.
So he says... I also have a question during this of why is the horse named Bill? I'm not saying I don't like the name Bill. I think it's a fine name for a horse.
I loved it.
I, Callie Hart, I need to know, is there a person named Bill in your life? Or a horse name? Is there a real horse named Bill? I need to know. Callie Hart, please tell us.
If Bill is a real live horse, we're going to go meet him.
What a dream. Let's go to the UK. Let's meet Bill the horse. It's going to be a great day.
I love that his name is Bill.
It's a great name.
I love it.
I just want to know the backstory. I have questions. Right? She's never posted anything about horses on her Facebook page or like her social media or anything like that from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So give us the inside scoop of where Bill or Ada. Do you know someone named Ada? Is there a horse named Bill and a horse named Ada in your life?
Or are they real people? Ada and Bill.
Maybe.
Maybe they're a couple.
Maybe they're her grandparents.
Maybe.
Maybe. Are they your grandparents, Kelly Hart? Tell us, please.
I just love, like, my name's Kingfisher, and this is my horse, Bill.
Bill.
The only name that could have gone further than Bill would be, like, Bob.
It's yes.
Horse, Bob.
Bob. I wonder if Bill is, like, the Bob of the UK. Like, in America. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to go to a name, like, what do you name that random... Duck, Bob. It's always Bob, right? I wonder if Bill is like that over the, like across the pond, as they say. I don't know.
Wow. Maybe.
Yeah. I know my lingo, Alyssa.
That was good. I'm proud of you.
So they eventually leave the woods, right? They get to the pub and they're waiting for Wren. And they dismount their horses and a stable hand takes them. Nobody on the internet is talking about how they have horse valet parking at a literal pub. Why?
This matters to you.
I don't know why it does. When I was reading, I was like, do they pay this man to just stand, this like creature to stand here all day and take these horses, and then he feeds them and waters them, takes them to the barn? Like it. It's his job. Horse valet parking.
Sign me up.
Yes. I want to do that.
Yeah. Not if they're going to bite me, though, in the ass.
I don't think Ada would bite you. You tell her she's a good girl.
Good vibes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an animal person. Right. I could do it.
You'd be fine with Ada.
Valet Parker.
Yes. If you ever fall through a portal of Quicksilver and you end up in these lands, sign up for that job first thing. You'll be set.
I'm going to be like, take me to the pub. I'm parking some horses.
I'm going
to
be parking horses from now on. You can find me here. We'll have Monday, Tuesdays off.
Yes.
Alyssa, the horse parker. Horse valet. And I don't know why one on the internet, I don't know why that didn't like set up some like a light bulb or alarms in anyone else's brain but my own.
I don't think it's that weird.
I thought it was crazy. Like, it's not a bad, it's a great thing. I just was like, wild.
I guess at a pub, I just think of like all the like media in like movies where there's horses and stuff. I feel like they just
tie them off.
I feel like they hand the reins over to the horse valet person.
Am I watching the wrong movies? Because they hop off the horse, they tie them to a pole, and then they walk away. Maybe I'm watching the wrong westerns.
Maybe I'm making that up. This is not a western.
Is this the Mandela effect that's happening right now? Are there valet horse parking in movies or not?
Well, somebody tell me. To be.
There is. Oh, because it's going to go to the big screen. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I'm excited to see if that is included on the big screen.
It better be.
Will somebody the horse valet make it to the big screen or will he be cut? Will you be upset if he is cut?
Yes. I will be upset because he offers to buy the fox. He offers to buy Onyx. He offers to buy Carrion. That's a big part of the book. Okay,
that's true.
It's a medium part of the book. I'm not saying it's a big part of the book, but I thought it was a great line.
If he bought Carrion, would Carrion become junior horse valet?
Yes.
With one.
And thing. Ada would bite him every time they came to visit.
Get bit by every horse.
He'd be like, God damn it, again. I don't know if Bill would bite him, but I think Bill would kick him. Just a little foot in the
side. That's worse than a bite.
Not like a big kick, not like a full horse kick, but like a little bat. Just to knock him over. Yeah, a little tap. Bill's not a biter. Love it. But he'll kick you.
Okay. Good to know.
In my brain, in the scene that is this, Bill is not a biter. And Carrion Swift would be horse valet man. Yeah. I'm here for it. If they change any detail about this movie, I'm going to be mad about it. I know they're going to. I know that's how it works. Yeah. I'm already not happy about it.
Okay. As long as we're already processing.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, by the time it comes out, I'll be fine.
Okay.
It'll be okay. I want the world to know that this director better do it right.
I'm imagining you standing up in the theater. Where's the horse valet?
Where is it?
Hello?
So it's going straight to Netflix. So I'm going to have a Quicksilver. I'm going to have a Quicksilver release party at my house. We're all coming over. We're going to live stream the podcast. We're going to watch it. You all can watch me lose my shit over all the things. So I'm going to probably scream at the TV. Yes.
Where is the horse valet?
It's a sturdy coffee table. I could fit on it.
Perfect.
Stand up and scream at the widescreen. We're all going to be there. It's going to be great.
I love it.
It's going to be amazing. You guys will see it. Whenever the movie comes out. So the Sable Hand attempts to buy Onyx, right, as we say. And Sarah's quotes, she said, Onyx darted behind me, hackles up as if he understood the Sable Hand and would take a finger if the stranger tried anything funny. And I know that you have edited our episodes and heard this in the past. I will die on this hill. I think Onyx is reincarnated from somebody important in Kingfisher's life, or maybe even Sarah's life. But that fox knows things, and that fox understands things that other animals in that book do not.
I will say now, going through the book, I'm like, when did this fox learn English?
Right?
Like, this fox didn't belong to anyone before her.
Mm-hmm.
He was just chilling. So,
just a fox.
When did this fox become a human in fox mm-hmm. form?
I think, and this is reaching, because there's no evidence for this, I think that Onyx is reincarnated from Kingfisher's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I have receipts in the bonus chapters of why I think that. So I can't tell you all the details, because you have to read the bonus chapters when you're done reading the book. But that's my theory. I have no basis besides that. Besides, like, two sentences in the bonus chapters.
Okay.
But Onyx is not just a fox. You're coming to my TED Talk.
I'm just processing.
He knows all the things. Even later on, when Carrion wakes up, like, there's, like, a weird vibe between them as well. Between, like, Onyx and Carrion.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Maybe he just says bad vibes, though.
They're not. I mean, that's true. That's true. They're not animal people. But, I mean, Onyx does like Saris. Or is Onyx reincarnated and knows exactly who Saris is? I want to see Saris next to another fox. I want to see what those vibes are.
Hello. Can we please have a second fox?
Yes.
Please, and thank you.
In Brimstone.
Bring in the fox.
The stunt double.
Bring in the fox, please. Thank you.
I can't.
Please
see what happens.
Yeah.
For research purposes only. So they go, they do not sell any of the people of their party. They go into the pub. Saris is super unfamiliar with this, right? And they sit down and she immediately gets attacked by fairies, right? They're drunk.
Yes.
They're like super drunk. They're fucking with her. And she swats them out of the air. And Kingfisher warns her. He's like, hey, like, don't swat them. They're drunk and they're real mean. First off, I think I would also swat them. I want to say that I wouldn't. I want to say I'd be like, oh, no. But if they're, like, in your face and you don't know them, you just, get them out of here, right? She's like.
I would just be like, okay, this is part of my life now.
this is my life now. I'm in this pub. I don't know where I am. There's fairies doing all these things. Like, they're messing with me. And she swats them. And she's like, I'm bigger than they are. Like, it's fine. Yeah. And they bite her. And I cackled out loud at this moment. Because Kingfisher tries to teach her all these lessons.
In this girl.
Yes. Well, he did warn her. He warned her straight out. Normally he doesn't. Normally he's like, lie in your own bed, right? He was like, hey, like, they're kind of mean. Like, don't do that. And she's like, meh, meh, meh. I better. Now she knows.
Fair enough.
Now she knows. Poor guys. Can you imagine, though, getting drunk and just biting people?
No.
I can.
No, I'm not biting anybody. I don't think I'm a biter. I'm Bill. I'm not a biter. Maybe I'm a biter.
Alyssa is Bill. I'm obviously Ada. Here we go.
Obviously.
Oh, man.
I felt like, not as this scene like goes on, but when they first go into the pub, I'm like, nah, Kingfisher is just straight Aragorn here from Lord of the Rings. At the Prancing Pony. I just got those vibes. But maybe that's...
maybe that's because
I'm a Lord of the Rings girly. But, like, I was like, oh, this is like Aragorn. He's now Aragorn in my head. For this,
you know, that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that before either.
I think it's just funny. Like the descriptors, you know. The black hair that's like curling at the end, that, you know, the whole thing.
The classic shadow daddy.
Riding up to the pub on your horse.
Yep. Is there maybe a horse valet in Lord of the Rings? I don't remember.
I was like replaying it in my head. I was like, wait, is there a horse valet?
It's been a long time. They're like 3.5 hour long movies, so I don't remember all the things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
that's
second
true.
First breakfast and second breakfast.
Very important.
Many meals.
Yeah.
So they're in the pub and then they talk about, like, so Saris tried to go into the pool, right? Kingfisher obviously stopped her and then they immediately had to leave. I had trouble understanding why they had to leave immediately. Was it because the week was up, right? They had a, he had a week to get it done, like, per the king, before Kingfisher had to go over to Kalish and try and, like, fight the war, right? Was the week over, or did something else happen? Did Bellicon know that she was trying to go into the pool? Like, I just wanted to know more about why they had to leave in such a rush.
I feel like that was the impression I got, was that Bellicon would have known.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember exactly what gave me that impression.
Right. I just had some questions about that, because I was like, why did they have to go so quickly? Like, they didn't even wait for Ren, right? They left, like, a note. She was like, wait, we need to wait for him. He's like, we can't. We cannot wait. So I just wanted to know what Kingfisher knew in that moment. Like, I would love a chapter of Kingfisher POV of these moments. Maybe I'll get them one day. That'd be good. But,
yeah.
So that way he's good. Like, and then he'd be like, oh, Bellicon knew, we got to go. And then be like, oh, okay, now I know. But we only, maybe we see it from Sarah's side.
Maybe with that new cover.
Oh, maybe.
Kingfisher. It'll be the one I find you.
Yes.
Kingfisher.
Kingfisher. All of the chapters. And the bonus chapters, are a lot of them are from his point of view, which is really nice to read.
That is cool.
I'm so excited. I'll, don't worry, when you're done, I'll send them to you. And it'll be a reward. It's also mentioned in the chapters that Ruik Dianthus was killed by Bellicon with a sword of note, which Ruik Dianthus is Kingfisher's dad.
Okay.
So I thought that was, and it says, like, a sword of note, and I'm like, pretty sure it's like a god sword, like a sword of note, like a sword that's worth mentioning.
I see.
What did you think about that?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest, that I kind of, like, breezed past that when I was listening. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the god swords are a huge part of this book, like the swords in general, right? So, like, the most of the god swords have died. There's only, like, one sword that still has a little bit of life in it, and I can't tell you why it has life in it right now, and you won't find it in this book. You'll find it in the bonus chapters when I send them to you. And you're gonna be like, ah, there's a whole story of why his sword is one of the only god swords that still has life. And it
That was actually one of my questions, because Saris asks something like that at some point, where she's like, can you tell me about why his sword is one of, you know,
like, why is his sword the sword?
Right.
Yeah. And it doesn't say it in this book, but again, in the bonus chapters, it goes into detail of exactly what happened to his sword and why it's so important.
Interesting.
It's actually a really sad story. I have the episode written on the bonus chapters already.
I recall that you are quite passionate about the bonus chapters.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to post them in these notes. In the show notes today, they're going to be there. If you have finished Quicksilver and you haven't read these, you need to read them. They're very important.
Got it.
It's for my mental health. I need you all to read them.
Got it.
Do it for Dallas' mental health. Yes, as soon as you're done, I'm going to forward them to you. Hello. It also notes in the chapters that Bellicon is unable to pass into Kalish. And I thought that was interesting, that he's not able to go through that, like, through that, those shadow gates or anything.
That did stand out to me. Like, why?
And then if he can't, I guess I'd have to look at the map again. Like, if he can't go through Kalish, like, how did he get to Sanishroth?
Yeah.
Because it's right across, like, it's across the river, right? Like, you go across, like, the Darn, and then you're over there. So how did he get over there? Did he have to go all the way around?
Maybe.
Did he teleport? Is that not teleport? I don't know what I forgot what the word is for that. The fantasy version of teleport.
Oh, that was you winning. Yeah. You might get that. Harry Potter.
Do you want to explain it for the listeners?
No, I'm good. We'll just move on.
Okay. And then during this time, as they're in the bar, They're in the pub. Malcolm is mentioned for the first time. But then after that, we don't hear much more, right? So that's like the first time his...
Am I just not far enough, or is that, like, done? Donezo.
For Malcolm?
Yeah.
Or for what? Like, who he is?
Yeah.
No, very important part of the story.
Yep. Yep. I just got there today.
Yeah. Very, very important part of the story.
Yep, 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 yep. I'm there. Yep.
Yeah. Huge part.
It's all coming together now.
Okay. I won't go too much into it because I don't want to spoil anything.
Nope. Yeah. I'm there now. I just got there. The whole, the fact that we mentioned that, though, does help it tie together because when I was listening today, I was like, ooh, you were mentioned before, but I couldn't remember exactly where. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah, mentioned briefly in the pub, and then as they are going into Kalish, you kind of learn, like, a little bit more about who he is specifically. And then they also go a little bit more – Ren also goes a little bit more into, the, like, the sword thing. So he kind of mentions Malcolm, and then we go through.
Yep.
And he notes that, again, the god swords are dead. But Bellicon, as a king, can lay claim to anything he wants, including the sword, right? Which is what was in the satchel that Kingfisher was like, don't touch the satchel. So, like, she's going back. Ceres is on the horse. He was like, stay on the horse. Don't touch the bag, right? And at first I was like, why can't you touch the bag? That's so weird. What do you got in there, weirdo? Oh, but he can go through her bag, right? Double standard.
I was just going to say it. Yep.
Yeah, I can go through your stuff, but you can't go through my... That's the one thing that... He's perfect, and it's fine, but it's the one thing.
He needs to learn some rules when it comes to people's personal belongings.
Boundaries, Kingfisher. Let's teach them. I'll teach him boundaries, don't worry.
So does she. She stole his ring.
Fair. Fair. Yeah, she's not perfect by any means. Definitely not.
I never claimed she was.
That's true. That's super true. So he notes that Solas is the sword which he stole, which belonged to Kingfisher's dad, Ruik, right? Again, the sword is dead, but Nimirel, we also again learn, is not entirely dead. But Ren notes that even though it's alive, it's been corrupted for years, and it's like 400 years old. But I find it interesting that they say it's corrupted, but I also don't think that Ren knows exactly what happened to that sword. I don't think Kingfisher told him. And I know that you don't understand what that means exactly yet, but you will. Because it all ties back in to the Lupo Proelia.
Interesting.
Yes. I want to go back to this moment.
Yeah, another moment to note.
Yes, note this moment as well. Check. So, he calls it corrupted. I would not call it corrupted.
Okay.
That's not a word I would use. I know that she used that word, and I think that word is fine from Ren because I don't think he knows exactly the history of why that sword did not die. So he's like, it's a little like it's still alive for some reason, but it's kind of weird. It's kind of corrupted, but there's a lie to that sword. Correct. Okay. I think if he was informed about what happened to that sword, I think he would care about it a million times more.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait for you to read these bonus chapters. You're going to be so excited.
I'm excited. Yeah.
I'm going to make you read them at lunch. I'm going to be like, nobody talk to Alyssa. She's reading the bonus chapters. I'll put a towel over. Nobody touch her. Don't look at her. Don't talk to her. You can't do the audio version because there isn't any. It's just a written one, but yeah. I'll read them to you if you want.
That's okay.
I'll read them to everybody at lunch.
Will you do the voices?
I will try. Yes, I will do my best to do the voices.
To it.
I do not have a passion to be an audiobook narrator, but we'll see how it goes.
It's okay.
It's gonna be great.
That'd be great.
So as they're in the pub, this was a moment that I found was really interesting, is that they're in the pub and they notice, like, everybody starts to notice them, right? And notice, like, what's going on, and there's, like, chatters everywhere. They notice Ren first, and I thought it was really interesting that they said, oh, it's Renfis Bloodsworn. It's Renfis of the Silver Lake. It's Renfis Orithian. And then they freak out when they see Kingfisher. But I thought it was so... I don't know if it's an Easter egg or what it is. I would like more details in the next book about Ren. because I think he is a really important character.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of names.
Yeah.
Why does he have so many names?
Usually in these kind of things, the more names you have, the more important you are.
He's very important. He's very special. Yes. Yeah. I just want to, I want history on all of them.
You want to know why each name exists.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sure. Can I get bonus chapters on Renfist, please?
I like
Request Renfist. Submitted. I think he's amazing. And he has been with Kingfisher forever. So, like, he puts up with all of the things.
I will say, this is the first book, and I know that you have mentioned this, where I feel like the audiobook gives you so much more of the characters.
It does. Yes.
Like, I would have never imagined Renfist with, like, that accent.
No.
Right? But, like, now that's all I hear. Like, now I could read text off of a page, and I would hear it that way. I feel like that's really cool.
I think that the audiobook of this story is super, super important. And I don't think it's like that with all of the books. Like, I thought ACOTAR was just as powerful book-wise, like, versus audio. But, like, this book specifically, for any, I will recommend the audiobook to anybody.
Why'd they have to change the person for ACOTAR? What was it?
Like, halfway. The third
book changed? Yeah.
I don't know why, but I do know that it's being re-recorded from the original gal.
I did see that.
I don't know when it's coming out. I thought it was the original girl was good.
When they changed, I was like, oh. It took me like a day to get adjusted.
Yeah, I think it's a second because you really get into it.
Yeah. And that's, again, that's like the voice you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't love the interpretations of other characters from the new reader.
Yeah, I can see that. However, I did like Nesta's version, like Silver Flames on the audiobook. I did like that one. And I like that it was a different voice because it's not from Feyre's perspective, right? It's the first book that's not in Feyre's perspective.
Yeah. And that's great. That one I want her to keep that one. With. Sure.
The rest of them I understand though. Like, they need to all be the same. They need to match.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So they are going through this, like, the pub, right? They're trying to leave. They're, like, trying to get out of there. And then there is a guy that kneels and, like, bows. And he's like, hey, like, thank you so much. Like, I appreciate you guys. Like, I'm bowing to you. And then they say, like, there was 5 people saving the cities, like, back in the day before Kingfisher left. And when I was reading through, and then also through the bonus chapters, there's Renfist, there's Morel, there's Dania, Corix, Foley, I'm going to mess this up, Vashtigan, and Lorith, right? And then I thought, okay, maybe not Lorith, because he was the newest member of the Lupoprelia. So I'm just, I don't know why I felt like I needed to know who the 5 people were specifically. It probably is completely irrelevant, but I really wanted to know who they were. That's my guess of who they were, but that's like too many people, right? It said 5. So like who wasn't around, right?
Yeah.
In that time. I just need to know. And also Kingfisher makes a ton of dad jokes during this. And I love each and every one of them. And she's like, so Sarah is like, hey, where are you taking me? And he says, home. And she's like, where is that? And he's like, the place that I was born.
Yes. Very good.
And it kills me.
I love a good dad joke.
Yes. I love a good dad joke from, like, a guy who's an asshole all the time. Yes.
Yeah.
They're just more special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can always let him from, like, a goofy guy, but when he's, like, all broody and he makes a dad joke, it just kills me.
Oh, yeah. It hits way harder.
Yes, it sure does. A little
bit of broodiness. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're not expecting it. You're always just expecting, like, attitude.
Yeah.
And so that kind of wraps up chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
So they leave the pub. They're on the way. And then we're going to chapter 16, right? And which is Shadowgate. So she says, a gateway to hell awaited them. And so in this, the Shadowgate, it's pretty big. They say it's large enough to fit a horse, obviously, because Bill and Ada have to go through it. And then this is where we find out that Carrion officially lost his boot.
Yes.
So the boot is here in this area. And how fucking funny would it be, Alyssa, is if in Brimstone, as Carrion and Kingfisher are going back through, he's like, hey, well, there's my boots. And I want to go back to this moment when that book comes out, and I bet money dude finds his boots.
That's interesting. I didn't think about, like, the future of it.
The future of the boot.
Yeah.
It's the little things.
The boot needs its own a bonus chapter.
Redemption arc for this boot. Does an animal take the boot? Does an animal live in the boot? A mouse lives in the boot.
Maybe it's the second fox.
Yes. And then we find out how he reacts with Saris.
That's right.
I'm here for it.
I just think it's interesting that there's so much attention to this. Like, this boot is mentioned a lot.
Yes, and will continue to be mentioned a couple more times.
Yeah.
Where is his boot?
I have questions.
Even in the bonus chapters.
My first question. Where's my boot? Mm-hmm. I don't know, bro. Don't you want to know, you know, why there's a bunch of fae people?
Yeah.
You're more worried about your boot?
He's worried. And I somewhat get it, because in the situation that they were in, they don't have a lot. Right? I think Carrion probably has more than most.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, shit, dude, where's my boot? Now I'm gonna be barefoot.
That's fair.
So I feel like I'd be pretty upset too. But also, yes. And I don't think he takes Saris very seriously in any shape or form.
Yeah.
On a lot of things. So he's like, where's my boot at? He's probably like, you're being overdramatic. Right? And then also, when you get to the end of the book, I think a lot of it will come into perspective of maybe why he didn't care so much.
Ooh, okay.
A little desensitized.
Okay.
So we know that the boot was lost in that area by said Shadowgate, right? So mm-hmm. Kingfisher willed Saris to go through the portal, right? Because she's under the oath. And Ren finds out that she is under the oath in the pub, like back in there, and he's super pissed, right? So Sweet Ren's like, hey, you can do this. You can go through the portal. Like, I'm here with you. And she tried really hard to fight this oath, like fight this command. And it did not go well. Yeah. Her body was like, we're going. However, I do give Kingfisher a smidge of credit because he did ask her nicely the first time. He's like, please go through the portal. Just go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, I'm not doing it. And he's like, great, you're going. So he did try to tell her one time. In a nice manner to go through the portal.
But is that like how you're not supposed to ask your children if they have to do something? Like, you're not supposed to be like, do you want to go brush your teeth now? You're supposed to just be like, hey, it's time to brush your teeth.
Yes. And I am not good at that. I'm always like, hey, you should probably go brush your teeth.
Yeah.
And it used to be, okay. And then now that they're older, it's actually I didn't mean that as like a question.
Right.
Go brush your teeth. So
I also do it all the time, but that was the vibes I got here. He was like, hey, like, you should go through the portal. And she was like, nah. And he was like, well, you're going through it.
Yeah, you're going to do it anyways. But good try. I tried my best to be nice. Now you have to go do it. So they go through this portal and she sees colors of all kinds of like red, white, orange, and green. I assumed that she would only see black because it's a black shadow portal. But
I also thought this.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I don't know if it's anything to note, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. I also was like, okay, but what are the colors? This is a shadow portal. shadow.
Black. Game. Maybe purple. Some like dark purple.
Blue.
Deep blues. But no, red, gray. White, orange, and green. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Okay. It's her book. Portal. She can write it how she wants, but
we'll
I thought
it
was the rainbow portal. Maybe it won't be so. Maybe if he would have named it the rainbow portal, she would have gone through it.
Maybe.
So she goes through this portal. When she's out the other side, she's super sick. She's laying on the ground. She's like throwing up. Bro leaves her. Kingfisher leaves. He just walks away.
See ya.
He doesn't say anything. He's just gone.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard at that. I was like, where is he? Gone. Well, And I had a couple of questions about.
Maybe he just doesn't like watching people vomit. Maybe it's just not.
You know, maybe he has an ick for that. And that's, I get that. That's fine. So I have a couple questions about the portal, right? So we know it sees the colors. That was a fun question that I had. So we can assume that the horses that Bill and Ada have been through the portal before, but Onyx has never been through as far as we know. Did they get sick? Did he get sick? And then why was Onyx not scared of the portal like he was the Silver Pool?
Yes.
Again, because he's reincarnated.
Maybe.
Because he's been through the portal before.
They draw so much attention to his reaction about the Quicksilver.
Yes. He's in that bag, scratching, desperately trying to escape. Maybe he can hear the silver, right? I guess it's possible. But I would like to see another animal next to the silver to see how they react. We need the second fox again. Put the other fox next to the silver.
Yeah.
Bring out the second fox, please.
Hello? Can someone please bring in the second fox?
We need them side by side next to the portal. Let's see what happens. I just have questions, right? Did Ada and Bill get sick the first time? Are animals not as affected by the portal?
Horses can't throw up.
What?
Horses, they can't throw up.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Believe me, I didn't know that fact.
Mm-hmm. So no. Did
they get queasy?
The horses didn't get sick.
The horses did not get, we now know the horses did not get sick.
I don't know if they can get queasy. I just know they can't throw up.
What a fun fact that you had just chilling in your brain. I had no idea.
So it's super important. I've learned this on TikTok. It's super important when you have your horse is sedated for a medical procedure or something. They have to wake up enough before they can start eating hay or anything, because they can get choke and then they can't throw things back up.
Wild. The more you know. Now we know.
That's right.
Regular horses and fantasy horses cannot get sick. That answers my question. Okay, so first question answered. What about Onyx? Foxes can throw up, yes? I'm assuming they can. Mm-hmm. So Onyx is not really affected by this at all. Which again tells me that he's been through the portal before and that he is something special.
Maybe.
I'm dying on that hill completely.
Maybe Ceres is just a wimp.
Also possible, but and
maybe
Ren,
she's not a roller coaster gal.
She would get car sick.
Yeah.
But Ren does notice, he's like, well, the first time you go through is a little rough.
You know what she needs? Those car sick glasses.
Yes, the funny with the loops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She needs those.
Ren would get them for her.
He would.
Kingfisher would roll his eyes at them, but Ren would buy them for her for sure.
He'd just walk away.
Then he would, no, as he did. So, yeah. Yes. And then during this part, this is where we also learn how Kingfisher got the Quicksilver in his eye. It says that Bellicon put Kingfisher through the silver without a relic, which is why he got it in his eye. And the healers took a lot of the silver out, but that's the one portion that they could not get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he is the stepchild-ish, stepchild, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta hate someone to another level to literally push them through a portal to go wherever
in the woods.
It's nuts. So I was like, okay, so you went through the portal.
Now he's gone through the portal at this point two more times without a relic on.
Yes.
Why doesn't he have more in his eye?
That's a good question. Well, I don't have an answer for sure. I would guess that... So the silver that's in his eye is very selfish. The Quicksilver in general is selfish. It's selfish and it's lonely, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think... I'm literally grasping at straw. I have no receipts for this. I think that when he goes through, obviously he gets very sick and it really affects him and it affects the silver that is in his eye. However, I think that they would not let any more silver go in his body. And they would say no. Mm-hmm. The Quicksilver is in his eye. And they'd say no. It affects him because it's selfish and it wants quick. It wants him to itself. Right? Just like Ceres is like, hey, come. Like, I don't know if you're to that chapter yet, but like when she eventually communicates with the silver in his eye, it's like, no, I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving. But
when you go to that point, when you think about this moment, and I think, and again, I have no receipts, but in my mind, it affects him for sure. But I think that it's like, no, you're not entering his body. Like, this is my body.
Do you think that little bit of Quicksilver is powerful enough to say no to a big thing of Quicksilver?
Maybe. Like, I don't know.
Many voices.
Right. He says the ring isn't really a relic, but was he lying to her? Right. Was it a lie on top of a lie? So the ring is a relic. Then he's like, it's actually not a relic, but did he tell that to her because he doesn't want her to leave? But also he can't lie because he's an oath bound fae. Right. So he took the oath. So then that tells me that that can't be a lie, that the ring really is not a relic. It's just a ring. So I don't know. I think we can go in circles about that all day.
Yeah, I feel like I've dug us into a hole here.
That's okay. we'll get out of the hole. Don't worry.
Okay.
So, Ceres, passes out, right, from being super sick from this portal that she was just thrown through. And then she wakes up and... we finally get to hear from Carrion. So Carrion is awake, right? And this should have been our first sign that Carrion was not from... Oh, shoot. God damn it. This is telling you all the things.
Another spoiler!
Ah! No! It's I can't tell you.
He's seen third. Faye before.
He has seen Faye before. Shit. Okay. How do we want to go about this?
This is great for me. If you've listened to our mini episode, I do love a good spoiler. This is great for me.
Okay. All right. So here we go. So we finally get to hear from Carrion, right? He's woken up. He's there. In this moment when they are talking, this is where we should have known that he was not from Sylvaren. Because he calls Onyx a rabid animal, first of all. Instead of, what the fuck is that thing?
Ooh, okay.
He was like, look at that rabid animal. How do you know what that is? How do you know what that fox is, sir? That's a red flag for me. He doesn't once ask.
Did you think that the first time you read this?
No.
Yeah.
No, I probably skipped right over that. And then when I read back again and listened to it, I was like, hello?
Yeah.
But when you get to the end of the book, then you know the truth, like all of the truths and all the things come out, right? And then when you read it again, you're like, red flag number one, red flag number two.
I love a reread.
It's you miss so much the first time.
There you are. I've been looking for you.
Yes. That hit so hard. The iconic moments.
Yeah.
All the Tamlin red flags that I missed. R.I.P. me. R.I.P. Dallas.
I will say, without going on too much of a tangent, when I read ACOTAR for the first time, I was like, I mean, he's fine, I guess. Like, I was like,
see, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
You did the right thing. I, on the other hand, was like, oh my God, this Tamlin man is so nice. He's so good to her. And I went to Cass and I was like, Tamlin. And she was like, sure. Okay.
Good thing you didn't get a Tamlin tattoo.
Oh my God. No, I don't do anything until I'm finished with all the things. Even though ACOTAR's not finished, I know. I don't care. I love it either way. Unless Cassian and Esther break up, then I'll die. Besides that.
Elaine and Tamlin.
I don't care. Elaine can do whatever she wants. Good for you, Elaine. Be happy. Only Nesta. Nesta and Cassian have to stay together.
She does not end up with Tamlin.
I kind of hope she does either. Like, I want Elaine to find herself. I think Elaine is more powerful than she lets on. I think she has a lot more powers than she tells anybody. I think she is And this is hot take. I think Elaine is going to end up being the villain and the one that betrays everybody.
I have heard this theory before. You're not alone in that.
I have also, I read a theory the other day that I was like, ooh, we think she's going to go to Gaucher and she's going to bargain with him to become human once again. And for that, she will have to turn on the inner circle. That's my guess. Anyways. Back to Quicksilver. We're going to different realms. It's fine.
It's okay.
And so also the other thing that Carrion says is, or does, he doesn't touch the food or water that's next to his bed when he wakes up.
This, I will say, first go through, this stood out to me. I was like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
You're not thirsty?
Yeah.
You're not a little bit thirsty?
He's been fine with his 6 ounces a day. You've also been like,
passed out on a horse
for days.
Yeah,
he doesn't touch the food, doesn't touch anything. But then also maybe she was still sleeping, but she says it wasn't touched, but maybe he took a couple bites and she didn't notice. She can't be that observant. He was like, let me take some grapes really quick, she'll never know. Little nibbles here and there.
Maybe
isn't that interesting?
Maybe just, well, I think, yeah, it is interesting.
And then we find, she's like, she panics, right? She's like, where's Hayden? Like, where's Hayden? What's happening? You're not Hayden, obviously. And then we find out that he has a job, that Carrion took care of him, took him to a different area. He now has a job and he gets triple the water rations. And this is where I need everybody to stop hating on Carrion Swift in this book. And I know that it's written where we're supposed to love, hate him.
Okay.
But he didn't have to help that little boy, man. That's child. True. He didn't have to help him at all. And not only did he help him, he took him to a different realm, got him a house, like a little area to live where he has a better living. And he did not have to do that, right? Mm-hmm. He chose to do that. So if you're a Carrion Swift hater and you're not finished with this book, get over it. He's great.
I don't think I'm a hater.
You know, even reading it, like, for the first time?
No.
Good.
I'm like, it's a good answer. He's a little full of himself.
Oh, for sure. A little arrogant.
So is
good guy, though. Yes. Very arrogant. I wouldn't want him any other way.
So he gets 3 times the water ration, so that's 18 ounces a day?
Yeah. He's so hydrated right now.
His pee is clear.
It's clear.
I was like, do I say it? And then it's like, nah, I'm gonna say it.
Say it. Ceres being arrested, being taken to a castle, being thrown to a portal is the best thing that could happen to Hayden.
Yeah. He wasn't gonna get
rip the band-aid off. Good for him. See, Hayden redemption arc. I think it's coming. I think he will redeem himself in this next book.
Maybe he's the villain. I don't know.
That's funny. That's hilarious. I didn't think about it for a second. I was like, oh, Hayden and Everlane. I know Ren and Everlane have like some tension. I think that'd be cute though.
Hayden?
I don't think so. Yeah. I kind of ship it.
Okay.
Maybe she'll put a reverse harem in there. It'll be a why choose.
Maybe I'll feel differently when I finish the book.
Hayden doesn't come back into the book.
Yeah.
What you know now about Hayden is everything. You know all the things that everybody else knows.
Everlane? Does she come back?
Ish.
Okay.
I can't tell you that. I don't want to spoil that part. Some things I'll spoil for you. Some things I gotta let you like live it in the moment.
Okay.
He also notes that Madra did not destroy the third ward, but she promised that she would. She never even went after Ceres' family, and that she's also prepping for a celebration, Evenlight, with a stage and flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Okay, why did she not take vengeance?
Yeah, what? Maybe she was having a good day.
That's gotta be a terrible day.
This, to be fair, I was like, why?
Yeah. She's like, what do you mean? And then I need more information on the Even Light. We don't get any more info on it. What is it?
Okay.
What is this celebration? Why is there a stage? Why are there mm-hmm. flowers? Mm-hmm. How did you water the yeah. flowers? I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're going to die. Ration. Somebody's. Poor people from the third. Everyone had to give 1 ounce to water the flowers for the stage on Even Light. It's a tax.
You only get 5 ounces today.
Yes. For the flowers. Yeah. So she literally does not take vengeance at all. Maybe. And here's my another thought is that if. So she went through the portal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Madra probably came in and was like, oh no, girl gone, portal open. She probably assumed that she died. And she's like, okay, well, girl's dead anyways. I don't need to take vengeance on anything because she R.I.P. Saris.
Mm-hmm.
I is my guess.
Yeah.
She's like, well, if she died, I don't need to worry about it. Just continue. Right. Move on. Don't worry about her.
It's more trouble for me to do all of this than to just move on with my life.
Right. And then by the time... Well, I can't say too much again. By the time she talks to somebody who may or may not have been there, she now knows and it's too late to take vengeance, right? Mm-hmm. So during this time, then she finally gets up, like, they're figuring everything out. She's answering all of his questions, right? Mm-hmm. Saris tries to outsmart Kingfisher by making, yet again, another bargain with him. And then for those who read fantasy, we know, right? We know about the bargains. For people who do not read fantasy, if you're listening, if for some reason you're finding like this podcast across your page, if you happen to go into another realm through a portal, you meet a fae, make no bargains, commit to no things, make no oaths.
Because I got this right away. Like right away.
Yes. You're like, girl, what?
Pay attention.
Pay attention. And I will give her credit. She tries. On this one, she tries.
She does try.
Mm-hmm. She fails.
But, like, you already know the outcome of these things.
Mm-hmm. But she thought she could do it.
Yeah.
So that stuck. You were unsuccessful, obviously.
Yes. I will say it is in character for her. To be like, yes. I got it this time. Like, I can do this.
I mean, that's how she survived, though. Like,
right.
I feel like in Zavar, like, she couldn't back down from anything. She just had to figure it out, right? Maybe she fell on her face. Maybe she didn't. So I don't blame her for trying to do that. So it says that you make this promise exactly, verbatim, word for word. I swear I will release you and allow you and Carrion to return to Zavar in the moment you have made enough relics for my people. So I also give her credit for trying to help, right?
Yeah.
She's like, I'll help you, but this is what I need from you. And he's like, you got it, babe. Sure. Bet. Here's my
promise on that. Yeah.
Yes. And that is the end of chapter 16. Okay. And then you turn the page and like shake your head because you're like, great, you made another bargain again.
Mm-hmm.
Bad job.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in Kingfisher's home that his great-great-grandfather built a long time ago. He's well over 1,000 years old. How old is this home? Millennia? Oh. Like, what? Yeah. Old?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? It's got to be thousands of... If it's his great-great-grandfather.
For sure.
That's some good builders right there. Good job. Taking care of that home. Yeah, there's, like, family paintings in it, and there's furniture... I would also like to get some AI art of the inside of this home.
As would I.
I just want to see it, right? I see it inside all of, like, the ACOTAR homes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see inside Kingfisher's castle. And then we also get more detail about how Kingfisher's mother was summoned to marriage to Bellicon via letter.
Yes.
And how she must have felt. She, like, dad has died. Right? Ruidianus has died. It's just single mama, Kingfisher. And then she gets a letter in the mail hey, we're getting married. Bring all your money. I'll see you in like a week. But then she's like, I don't have a choice. Like, this is how we're going to show that we're loyal, right?
Right.
So like Bella Khan was obviously using her and like being manipulative. But I like as a wife and as a mom, I just could not imagine the feeling that she must have felt when she had to do this.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And for your son. Like,
yeah.
And to not feel like you had a choice.
Mm-hmm. There was no reason that she needed to leave, right? Like, they had a good home. They had a good community. Like, he was being raised well. Like, even though dad was not there anymore, it's not right. Like she was, like, in ruins and had nowhere to go.
No, he was well taken care of.
Right. And she was like, well, this is what we have to do, so we aren't – no, there's no retaliation, right? Because how is she supposed to protect herself against that retaliation if she said no?
Right.
So I hated that. I hated that for her. And I
– yeah.
I mean, there's, like, redemption, I guess, in the end, but not enough for putting her through that, right? In my opinion.
Yeah.
In the castle, we finally meet Archer. And we finally also see a soft side of Kingfisher when Archer hugs him and cries and is excited that he's home. So Archer is a fire sprite. I have a spot in my heart for all fire sprites. I'm obsessed with them. I don't know what it is about tiny little fire sprites in Crescent City. In this book, I love them. We also know that there are water sprites, fire sprites, and air sprites, but not so much earth sprites. We meet some earth sprites, but not very many. And I also want to note again, I know we've kind of talked about like the recording and the voices. Anthony does a fantastic job with Archer's voice, in my opinion.
So cute.
Oh, yeah. It's adorable. So I was like, I love that character. I think Archer is one of the most underrated characters of this entire book.
Oh, I love him.
He's amazing.
We met Archer and I was like, okay, my husband now has to read this because I know that that's going to be like one of his favorite characters.
Does he also love fire sprites?
It's just like that, like, that like little, I don't know how to describe it, that type of character.
Yeah.
I know he's going to be like, oh, I love Archer. I first
he's the best.
I'll report
he's back. Amazing. Yes, I'm here. Tell me how it goes.
I will.
So, and during this, we also find out Ceres has never seen mountains before.
Yes.
So we've never seen moon, stars, mountains, foxes. We literally have not seen it. This poor girl has lived this like wild, dangerous life, but has been so sheltered from so many other things.
Mm-hmm. It's such
it's crazy.
A dynamic shift. Like, she lived this dangerous life in like the worst of the worst conditions, but never saw anything. And now she's like seeing all of these things. Not that she's like not in danger ever, because obviously she is, but like, comparatively though, like, well taken care of.
Yeah. Well, I like that she's able to take it all in too. Like, she isn't like on the run or like constantly looking out for things, but it just, it's interesting to see or to like read what Zelvarin is actually like it's what a hellhole it really is. It's pretty bad over there.
Yeah.
So they're going to the forge together in his castle. It's enchanted with magic, where you don't have to go outside to get to it. You just walk through the door in the castle, again, like a portal. But we also learned that Kingfisher's magic can't do that, can't make that type of portal. Only Ren can. It works in short distances, and which is why it would not work for the Shadow Gate, because she's like, why don't we just use this for that? And he's like, it doesn't work like that.
He explained it. She's like, he explained it like I was a five-year-old. He's like, let me explain this to you.
Yes. Like, don't break it down. Yeah. As he rolls his eyes again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So it said they had to travel 800 leagues, which is way too far for Ren's portal abilities. And he could have conjured a shadow gate from the Winter Palace, but the Fae are very sensitive to that much magic, and Bella Khan would have noticed that and teleported him right then. Right. Which I guess he can teleport over. Maybe that's one of Bellicon's magics that I kind of maybe missed or passed over. The taverns, like the pub, is exactly 50 leagues away from the Winter Palace, which is the exact amount of space needed for someone not to detect your magic. And also, Okay, so during this, I didn't know what a league was. I was like, what does that mean? And so I looked it up. Of course I did. Yes, I needed to know. So in the context of fantasy books, a league typically refers to a historical unit of distance often used to describe the vastness of landscapes or the distances between locations, and is generally understood as roughly 3 to 4 miles.
Oh,
they had to travel 800 leagues. If one league is 3 to 4 miles on a horse, whoo, isn't that wild? That's a long distance.
It's a long ride.
It is a long ride. I would also have bit Carrion if he was in my face for 800 leagues. Poor Ada. Somebody give this girl a break. Yeah. And then we kind of learned that there's multiple ways of transport. Portal-wise. So there's a Quicksilver, right? Which goes to other realms.
Right.
And it's interesting because it goes to other realms within one universe, like almost like going to other planets, which I thought was really interesting. So like you could look up in the sky and you could know the Quicksilver could take you to that one star up there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And then there's Shadow Gates, which are of this realm only, but in longer distances. And then there's Ren's portal magic, which is very short distances also in this realm. So I thought that was kind of cool that Kelly created a world where there was a multiple different means of transportation portal wise.
Yeah, it's definitely more complex than I feel like a lot of these kind of series are.
Yes.
Like, I feel like a lot of series would be like, okay, there's Shadow Gates and that's it.
Right, you're going through the portal, you're back through the portal.
I like the reasons why as well. So you're not left asking questions.
Yeah, it's all broken down for you, which did make it very helpful. So I didn't have to try and research all of that stuff exactly. So thank you for doing that. Back to the oath that they, or the, like the bargain that they made, right? So that you make this promise to me exactly verbatim, word for word. I swear I'll release you and allow you and Carrion to return to Zelvarin the moment you have made enough relics for my people. They go into this forge, right? And she's looking around and he opens a trunk with 1,800 rings. And then he notes there are 8 more trunks, making over 15,000 rings this girl has to redo. And this is why you pay attention to the details. And this is why it's in the book on the inside cover that says the devil is in the details. Girl, you got to listen. He also knows that each relic was donated by a warrior because the relic is stronger when it comes from a personal belonging. So each one she has to redo. And if it has like something fancy on it or it has something on it, she has to redo that as well. It's going to take her literal years. She's like, this is going to take me years. And he's like, well, you better get to work. And that is the end of chapter 17.
15,000.
15,000 relics.
Yeah, 15,000.
She has a lot of work to do.
Yeah. I can't.
Don't worry. She can get it all done.
That's actually my people. When I said my people, I actually meant 15,000.
He has 15,000 soldiers. And as we tell you, he's like, I have 15,000 soldiers. I need 15,000 rings. Like, this is what you asked for. Good for him. He's like, well, if I just don't tell her. It's not lying. He can't lie, right? With Aunt Bay, but.
She presents this oath and he's like, actually, yes.
That's a great oath. Good job, Saris. That's a
great oath.
What a great idea. So yeah, that's the end of chapter 17. So that's kind of we're wrapping up our episode with that one. And next week we're going to do chapter 18 through 20. We would like to give a little shout out in this episode to a Facebook group that we are a part of. It's called In My Kindle Girl Era. They're a very active group on Facebook and we're really grateful for their support. So thank you guys from that group for listening to our podcast. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Check them out.
Yeah. Go to they do a lot of fun stuff on there. I look at it every once in a while. Yeah. And they have lots of like book recommendations and they discuss a lot of books and some of the theories that I have about like the ACOTAR stuff and things like that, I've also kind of read on there as well. So you have quite a bit of info on it. So thank you for joining us today. If you like our podcast, like and subscribe, share with your friends. If you know a book lover or a book reader, tell them that there's a podcast, tell them to listen to it. And we will see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of the Goodish Girls? Follow us on social media for sneak peeks at our upcoming episodes and bonus content.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.